Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with David Strickle, the Stream of David. Today is Tuesday, October the 6th, 2020. It's 4 p.m. New York time, and wherever you are in the world, thank you for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And I told a story yesterday about our cat Joy and the struggles and tribulations that we've been dealing with and how he managed to get himself home after being attacked by a predator. And I want to give an update. He is not out of danger. It's kind of 50-50 of whether he's going to survive, but we're giving him the best shot we can. And I can tell you that he appreciates it, David. I mean, I told you before the show what had actually been going on. And every time that he's so weak right now, but every time that he interacts with us, he just purrs up a storm because he's basically saying, this is why I wanted to crawl home in this condition, because I knew you'd take care of me and you're taking care of me and I love you so much. That's the message that we're getting from him. So even though we're going through a tough time, it's nice to know we reconnected with him regardless of what happens. And Louise and I are holding out hope that, he's in actually for a second stay, trying to get juiced up with electrolytes and so forth in the hospital. And we're hoping that this is going to kick the last stone into place, so to speak, because he just isn't eating really well right now. We're hoping to get him eating better, because once he eats, then he has a chance to recover. So we're close. We're close. But
so he's showing his gratitude for your care that you're giving him. That's nice.
Yeah. Well, that's why we call him Joy. He is a joyful cat in every way, always has been. We found him. He was abandoned by people who lived across the street from us. We didn't know it at the time, but he had been abandoned. He and his sister, we presume it's his sister, Harmony. And so we just collected them when we think they were probably about 4, 5, 6 years old, something like that. That was 7 years ago. So they're 10, 11, 12, 13, something like that now. But Joy has, from the beginning, we called him Joy originally because we thought he was a girl. And because he behaves so joyfully. Then we took him in to get him fixed and found he was already fixed. And by the way, he's a boy. Bit of a surprise, you know.
But if they'd have to get fixed again, he was definitely joyful.
Yeah, he was very joyful, right. He didn't have to go through that again.
Sure.
But he's just like the friendliest cat in the world, especially with our neighbors. I mean, every neighbor nearby knows Joy because he goes out of his way to introduce himself and rub up and ask for pets and all this other stuff. He's our neighborhood ambassador. So even though he has a female name, he absolutely earns it. He is a joyful cat.
Gender neutral.
Yeah.
Well, I will send my best vibes to Joy, because that's a great story that he made it back home and that you're caring for him and that no matter what happens, you are finding joy in the process. I like that.
Yeah. And having to work for it. I mean, that was the topic of yesterday's show was, I mean, I don't care who you are. I don't care how advanced you are. When you run into stuff like this, it hits you. You feel it and you're dealing with it.
Sure.
I was expressing a lot of gratitude yesterday for the tools that I've learned over the years so that I could have a chance of climbing out, and wasn't 100% successful with it, but I was successful a lot of the time. And that makes all the difference. I know that my ability to successfully at times climb up to a high vibe enough that I could get messages out. When I did that, I would send messages out to him. Buddy, I don't know where you are. I don't even know if you're alive, but if you are, come home. I know on some level that got through to him and that it gave him a little extra energy to say, you know what, as injured as I am, I'm going to get home. And he did. I mean, that's a miracle all by itself.
And it's good that you're celebrating that, because that raises the whole vibration around the whole situation. And,
yes.
And being at peace with any outcome does as well. Because the understanding the law of attraction doesn't cure the state of being human, and it doesn't cure polarity. Polarity is causing a constant fluctuation of vibration no matter what.
Right.
And these negative things, the things that we judge as negative, are a result of our lower vibrational thought.
Mm-hmm.
But it's natural to have challenges. It's natural to have obstacles in our lives. And we all have a lifespan, and all of our human physical lives are going to come to an end. And that goes for our animals as well.
Absolutely.
Being at peace with that and each independent journey, that is the closest thing to, I don't like to use the term awakening because I think it's thrown on a lot. It's very judgmental.
Yeah,
it's very ego-based. But to really hold appreciation for every being's unique journey, whatever it is, whether it's our preference or not, to me, that's the closest thing I can imagine what really being awakened individual is.
I agree with you. And I'll even go a step further and say that in our interaction with our animals, obviously in this case, Louise and I are interacting with an animal we've come to love very much. We wanted to do our best for him because we love him so much. And that's what we're doing. We're doing our best for him. That's all anyone can ever really do is to do their best. That's, you know, the best that they know how, no matter how high or low that may be. I mean, for some people, it's going to perhaps be their best isn't really, really good compared to other people, but it's their best. It's the best they know how to do. And that is what counts. We're doing our best for him because that's what we do. We do our best.
Yeah. You know, last year I have a French bulldog named Lola, and light of my life. I adore this dog. Oh, best dog I've ever had. Just so smart, so trained in every way, just completely, almost an angel in the way she behaves, except she's not that friendly. She's not a typical, she's more like a cat than a dog. And you have a cat that's more like a dog, it seems. But she got into something last year and her face puffed up. And she broke out in hives all over, obviously something, you know, some sort of severe allergic reaction.
Right.
And went into, what do they call it? Anaphylactic shock.
Yeah.
And was having trouble breathing. And it happened right at the end of the day. And the, all the local vets in Palm Springs were closed. So I had to drive her 45 minutes away to another town to go to a 24-hour emergency vet. And I get out on the freeway and, of course, Southern California traffic.
Yeah.
Stuck in traffic. And I thought, okay, I can risk our well-being and try to weave in and out of cars and drive like a maniac. Or I can be at peace with, this is my dog's journey. She's only 3 years old at this point. She's four now. And be at peace with whatever the outcome of this is going to be okay. And it's her journey that she's manifested for herself. And if she dies sitting next to me, that's her path and her journey. And I need to be at peace with that.
Right.
And I sat and I, you know, stroked her and told her I loved her. And, you know, we sat in traffic. And the interesting thing is that that process raised my vibration. I went from panicking and really being upset to really just being at peace and calm with the situation. Well, we get down to Indio, which is where we had to go to the vet, and my car was a couple of years old that I had at the time, and the navigation wasn't up to date. So the navigation was wrong. It was telling me to get off at an exit where an exit no longer existed. And I had to rely on the stream, if you will, to navigate my way to the emergency vet.
Going by gut.
Just instinct.
Yeah.
You know, just instinct of where this thing could be, where this place could be. And we went right to it. It was amazing.
That's cool.
And I knew that if I had stayed down in that lower vibrational field of being upset and pushing against her possible death and all of these things and being so frustrated with the traffic, I wouldn't have had access to that information. So I'm so glad that I let the vibe rise. And I'm very happy to see that you're doing that too. Just being at peace with whatever is next and whatever the outcome is and showing gratitude for the fact that he made his way home. And you have him now for this period of time, whatever the result is. I think it's a fantastic way to handle it.
It actually makes me love him more, believe it or not. Just the fact that he tried so hard to get home, because that tells us how much he values us.
Yeah.
And now we value him for sure, but it's great to know he values us. That was the best way he could show us. There was no better way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It's a nice story. It's definitely a nice reaction and inspiring to many, I'm sure.
By the way, I need to do a couple of housekeeping notes. First of all, if you're watching the video of this and not just listening to the audio, and David's voice looks like it's out of connection with what you're seeing on video, because it is, he's got a connection issue that he's got to iron out, but that'll be sorted out by the next show, I'm sure. Also, you'll notice that Dan and Alex aren't with us today. Dan dealing once more with wonderful builders who are deciding to pound on the roof next door, so he figured he probably wouldn't be able to contribute as much as he'd like to, just so he'd have to have the mic muted most of the time. And Alex is also taking a step back from the Tuesday shows a bit. She'll drop in occasionally, but she'll be mostly doing the Thursday shows. So just wanted to get everybody up to date on all that that's going on. Something that you had talked about with me before the show made an interesting topic too for us to get into before we get into the questions that we've received from listeners. And by the way, if you want to ask the stream a question, because David's going to connect to the stream shortly and be able to answer questions or let the stream answer questions using his voice, feel free to use the LOA Today app. But you do have the LOA Today app, right? Well, if you don't, get the LOA Today app. That's step A. Step B is in the app. If you click on the goodies section, as we like to call it, you'll see a place where you can ask a question, and then you can just indicate that the question's for the Stream of David, and it'll come right to me, and I'll make sure it gets added to the list. So that's how you can get your question answered here on the Tuesday shows with the Stream of David. So with that, with that part out of the way, you brought up an interesting topic before we got on the air here about food. And I have to admit, food is something we've talked about previously here on the podcast, but not in a long time. So I think it's about due. Tell me some of the things that you were telling me before the show.
Well, I was telling you that I'm polishing up the Taya book, and I've finished my first draft. I'm going back in and going a little deeper in some of the channeled answers to the questions. And somebody had asked a question about food and the vibration of food. And the stream has talked about food before. I've done podcasts on food before, but I've sort of fallen out of it and forgotten about it. And the funny thing is that during COVID, with the gym shut down and me cooking pasta and cakes and all this stuff, I've gained weight back, and I've gotten, you know, I'm not as in good shape as I was at this time last year. I was in the best shape of my life.
Really? Wow.
At this time last year, thought I would never regress. And then sure enough, you know, these life circumstances change, and I do. And your body has a dominant vibration that it sort of wants to default back to, and mine does. So this attitude about food, because I was going back on keto and doing all these different things. In fact, I'm back on intermittent fasting, and today is my first day of intermittent fasting. And this is the 17th hour of a 16-hour fast right now. So I'm happy to be on here talking to you and distracted from hunger, because I'm definitely experiencing it. But the question about the vibration of food in the stream's response was that, well, first of all, what is the intention behind the creation of the food that you're consuming? Therefore, what is the vibration of the food that you're consuming? This is one big part of everything that you eat. Was that food created for the taste experience? Was it created for the nutritional experience? Or was it created for budget? Was it created for convenience?
Yes.
Because that's a different intention right there. And we all know what that's about, I think. You know, they always say that to eat the good stuff on the perimeter of the supermarket, not the stuff in boxes and packages in the middle of the supermarket. Well, that's a big part of intention. If you're actually growing something, yes, you can grow it in a more intentional way. And whether that's labeled organic or not, I don't know. I don't want to get into what, you know, the mechanics of all that is. But what is the intention behind it? And then, more importantly, what is your intention in consuming it? Because our bodies are filters. We are constantly consuming noise and air and water and food and all of these things that flow through us. And how we process things has a lot to do with stress and resistance in our bodies. Because if we are not stressed and we are not resistant and we are allowing, we know that we're healthier, and we're healthier because that stress and that tension of not allowing the things that we want to flow to us, not allowing trust in the universe, not loving ourselves and finding the joy in everything, that creates the tension that causes us to hold on to things that we don't need to hold on to. Our bodies are not working as a filtration system that they naturally are. Look at how the organs function in our bodies. Everything's a filter.
True.
Everything is a filter. So if we're holding on to negative aspects of something, that's our own attraction of it into our bodies and holding on to it and not releasing the negative aspects of it. That includes food. So even if we're eating low vibrational food, if we have a high vibrational intention behind it, our body is going to process it differently than it is if we're eating a high vibrational food with low intention, with fear. I shouldn't be eating this. That's what I find myself falling into, this belief system that carbs are bad. I shouldn't be eating bread. I shouldn't be eating sugar. I shouldn't be eating grains. There's this whole list of stuff I shouldn't be eating. And then I stop eating it and the weight doesn't come off. And it's not because of the food or even the calories. It's because of my intention, my attitude toward it. That's why there are some people who simply believe they can eat whatever they want, and they can.
But let me clarify something here. So when you use the term high vibrational food versus low vibrational food, you're not talking about the food itself. You're talking about how we feel about the food. and what we're thinking about.
Well, there's two things. There is higher and lower vibration in food, certainly. Packaged process, you know, food full of chemicals is not the same vibration. And we're judging it high and low, but it's not the same vibration as something that you grow in your own garden with the intention of consuming it.
Okay.
That is a different vibration of food itself. But the stream says that more importantly, what is your intention in consuming it?
Mm-hmm.
Are you honoring and blessing your food before you consume it? There's power in that.
Yes.
Are you giving it the power to nourish you and the power to your body to process it, no matter what it is, even if it's a piece of cake, to process it and enjoy it and keep what you need and release what you do not, including calories. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to suddenly, you know, go from 1,500 to 2,000 calories a day to 5,000 calories a day to be okay. That would be a big stretch for my belief system to allow that to really work for me.
Yes.
But I can definitely be more intentional in what I'm consuming. And I already consume I already believe in high vibrational food. You know, I try to eat whole foods. I eat a lot of organic stuff just because I think it tastes better.
Exactly.
Who knows if it's just a, you know, marketing ploy or not. There are certain foods that I know taste better when they're organic.
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind. I mean, one of our favorite things to complain about, and which is not the best way to go about doing this, is how vegetables from the local farm taste so much better than vegetables from the grocery store. And it's probably because the flavor's bred out in favor of making it look good. But I mean, if we want to have a tomato, we'll get it from the local farm because it'll actually taste like a tomato.
Yeah, those things you get at the supermarket, even the higher end supermarkets, tomatoes are not good.
They aren't.
The tomatoes are so much better.
They look like tomatoes. They slice like tomatoes, but there's no tomato flavor. It's just juice.
Yeah.
Maybe some sweetness. That's about it. You know, but the tomato flavor is gone. Whereas when you get a real tomato or, you know, a real zucchini or real corn or whatever, I mean, the corn that our local farm produces is delicious, absolutely delicious. And it's not just that it's sweet, it's flavorful in all the ways that corn is supposed to be flavorful.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get that from the supermarket. It just doesn't happen. So is that my intention? Probably, because I'm so used to thinking that way. But it's also the reality.
Well, it all plays together, though. Yeah. So making higher vibrational choices and then having a higher vibrational intention with how it's going to react in your body and then eliminating stress, all of these things play a role. It's not just saying, oh, well, I can eat whatever I want. I'm fine. Because we have vibrational flow. It's what we're talking about all the time. And in this vibrational flow, you're not going to hold that belief in an ongoing way to where it's really your belief. You may want it to be your belief, and maybe eventually it can become your belief, but you're going to have to go through a vibrational flow, all of these up and down periods of holding on to that belief and eating whatever you want and truly believing that for that to really work.
You're reminding me of something that Louise will sometimes do, because she has a very sweet tooth, that she loves sugary, sweetie stuff. And one of her favorite things to do, especially if we're talking LOA, because we do periodically talk about this stuff, is, you know, I'll bring up the whole thing about what you're talking about, vibrationality of food and so forth, and how are we reacting to it? How are we vibrating to it? And she says, oh, so does that mean that if I vibrate well to a chocolate cake, I can have the chocolate cake? Okay, good. I vibrate fine to the chocolate cake.
Yes, saying it and truly believing it. You know, and the problem is that you can psych yourself into that and have the piece of chocolate cake, and then what happens after you have it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But establishing a habit of never feeling guilty about what you eat is very powerful.
I can't say I've ever worked on that deliberately. I mean, you sound like you have. Do you have, like, things that you do to make sure that you pull that off?
Yeah, well, all, you know, all of the things that you do in the Taya practice give you the tools to be able to keep your vibration higher in the first place.
Okay.
With a higher vibration, it's easier to shift focus and shift beliefs, for sure. But again, food is one of those things that I've sort of gotten off the wagon with myself.
Yeah.
And I've seen the results of it. And I was, you know, here I am teaching this stuff all day long and not practicing what I teach in regard specifically to food. I was demonizing food, thinking, gosh, you know, I've put on this extra weight during COVID, and I have been going to the gym, and now the gym's open again, and now I've got to buckle down, and I've got to do this, I've got to do that. I threw the brakes on and thought, wait, what am I even thinking? I can't do that until I shift my vibration and intention around what I'm eating. And then really the habits come naturally from there. So this intermittent fasting is what I'm doing now, and it has worked for me in the past. And it really is just about cutting your total calories down, but still being able to consume not a ton of food, but higher quality food when you do eat. So
you don't really have a particular thing that you do vibrationally to say, okay, I need to get myself into a particular space so that I can have this food and I can feel good about it. You don't actually consciously do it that way.
No, to me, when you're doing that and it's not your lifestyle, it's something that's a very temporary thing and it doesn't survive the vibrational flow. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you start working with the vibrational flow, understanding that, okay, I'm generally going to work on raising my vibration and I'm generally going to show gratitude for my obstacles as they arrive. I'm going to make peace with what is, you know, those tools are the things that work better for me and for most people that I work with. It's the bigger picture tools that are lifestyle tools, not a trick in the moment. Because the trick in the
it
moment
certainly
is
makes sense.
The moment.
I mean, yeah, the trick I've done the trick in the moment. Oh, yeah. Well, I've done the trick in the moment. I'm sure everybody has it one time or another. But it certainly makes sense because any time that we talk to anybody who is good at manifesting, I mean, Daniel, for instance, he tends to help people with money issues. It's the same thing. He's focused on what's your general pattern. What is it that you're really focusing on generally in order for your intentions to come true the way you want them to come true, leaving behind all the crap that we tend to focus on. If we talk to Cindy Chavez about relationships, she's more interested in talking about, okay, what am I doing to heal myself, to feel good about myself? You know, the relationship part actually becomes almost secondary.
Yeah, everything's secondary. Everything really is about zooming out, bigger picture, trusting the universe to deliver an amazing life experience, not needing the relationship or the weight loss or the money, not needing that stuff.
Right.
Because when you need that stuff, the universe is just answering, yes, you need it. Yes,
there you go.
Yes, you need it. You're going to stay in a perpetual state of need, getting off those subjects and generally being better, generally being in high vibration, loving what is, loving yourself, loving the environment around you, appreciating everyone for the path that they're on. That super zoomed out high vibrational stuff. I know you reference Abraham a lot. Abraham uses the term going general.
Yes.
Being general about it. Generally good. The universe is taking care of me. The universe is pampering me. Everything's working out. And I even go further and say everything's always working out, even when it seems like it's not.
Yeah, that's
good. I have found that to be true because you have this downward flow of vibration, and in the downward flow of vibration that creates obstacles. But solving those obstacles actually helps you create a better version of whatever it is.
Louis D'Souza does the Monday show with me. He's from the UK. Well, actually originally from South Africa, but he lives in the UK with his family. And one of his favorite things to say when the polarity hits and the deep contrast is hitting, he says, okay, here we go. More contrast. He gets excited about it because, like you say, he's focusing on, here's what's great about that thing. Even though I feel like perhaps I'm on a downward pitch right now, this is going to lead to something really great. And it's a wonderful.
Well, when you truly hold that belief, then any downward spiral activity, manifestation of anything unwanted only serves the purpose of creating more wanted things.
Yeah.
Here's some inspiration for something that you want to solve in your life and you expand in the solving of it. Then there's really no negative. Everything exists to inspire new positive. So you had the negative of your cat disappearing. The positive was he came back home. The negative could be that you don't know what the outcome of that's going to be. But the positive is that you're having this amazing experience and experiencing him, appreciating you and caring for him.
Yeah.
It all inspires new positive. And this is his unique journey. And if you can hold appreciation for his unique life journey, and this one of infinite lifetimes, and simply be an appreciation for who he is while he's with you, then it's all a good experience.
And I appreciate him, by the way, because he's made it easy for me to appreciate him. And I say that because he's called Joy for a reason. He is a joyful cat. He's just continuously joyful. And it's almost contagious. You just want to feed it back just because he's giving you all this, what they call unconditional love. I think that's just redundant. He's just giving love out continuously. And why would you want to respond any other way? That's the way it feels to be around him. So I think that's what makes it so special, that we have been giving this, getting this appreciation from him, because it's almost like it's completing the loop, you know, completing the connection. The connection was already there. I mean, we already knew that, but boy, does it feel good to know that he really does feel that way. That feels wonderful.
Yeah.
And just kind of gives me more impetus to say, okay, bud, we're sending out, this is like our last big thing that we can really do to get you eating and get you healthy again. So grab a hold of the lifeline we're sending you, because that's our love to you. Yeah.
So, yeah. It's actually a very nice story. I love the story, the whole thing, regardless of what happens next.
I love just being able to tell it, to tell it in the way that feels so good. That's one of the reasons I like doing this show.
So. Yeah.
Well, why don't you do your connection to the stream thing, so that we can ask the stream some questions. And while you are doing that, of course, I will remind people who are users of the LOA Today app to be sharing that app with others, because we want more people to get this message about how important it is to appreciate everything in life and to understand how to do that. It's an important skill to develop, a set of skills, really, tools, as TYA is put together. And also, we want to encourage you, if you've not used the app, to try it out. You know, maybe you're a new listener. You've picked this up. Maybe you listened on PRN, or you listened on one of the Facebook shares or something like that, or you saw us on YouTube. You know, become a subscriber by listening to and downloading the LOA Today app. It's the best way to get not only the app, but you get the various freebies that our co-hosts have given in. Dan Mangana donated the Money Game ebook, and he also donated Beyond Intention audiobook. Cindy Chavez donated her, I always forget the title, Lovely Magician's Guide to Soulmate Success. In other words, how to have successful relationships. Linda Armstrong donated her High Vibe Living course. There's a lot of freebie extras on there that you get with the app. So download it if you haven't used it. And if you have used it, share it, because we want to get more and more people taking advantage of that. And I think I've seen the transition on David's face that says that the stream is here. Stream, are you here?
We are here.
All right. Glad to have you here. Thank you once again for joining us. We have a question from a listener that we want to use to get the conversation started, and then I'll have some follow-up questions to go along with it. This is from Jim. Jim has written in before, but he has a really good question. It's a very broad one, so I think you're going to be able to go on about this one for a bit. He says, when we return to the energetic realm, what is a good human comparison to the feeling? And then he gives some possibilities here. Possibility A, getting out of school for the summer and a sense of relief and freedom. Second possibility, or B, is coming home from a long trip and feeling a sense of ease and comfort. Possibility C is arriving at an awesome high-vibe party full of happy beings. D is all of the above simultaneously. E is none of the above. So you have a few options to play with there.
He has answered our question for us and offering the all of the above. Of course, the surface answer is all of the above, but where we want to take you with this is understanding that there is the term that David has used. In fact, he's starting his third book, and it's called Source on Earth. And it is about experiencing your life as a human so connected to our energy, your own source connection, your own stream, that you are experiencing source on earth. The only difference between your experience in physical and you, other than the physical aspects of it, and how you experience non-physical, is what you label contrast. And what we are offering with the Taya practice is an understanding and a set of tools that bring you to a lifestyle, if you will, a way of operating your lives where the contrast is no longer contrasting, where you are able to zoom out and appreciate every aspect of humanity, every aspect of your planet, every aspect of your manifested reality. Because you have this thing that we are speaking of frequently called vibrational flow. Polarity is taking your vibration up and down a virtual vibrational spiral continually. And of course, your reaction to that vibrational flow, meaning your thoughts about it, is what is creating your experience. The up and down vibrational flow can be viewed as all positive, because the high vibration, the examples, the A, B, and C examples that were provided are all examples of what most of you would judge as high vibrational moments, freedom, joy, happiness, community, things of this nature. The judgment of what you may consider less than that as negative, the judgment is the thing that is creating it as a negative for you. So when you begin experiencing the last day of school or walking into the party or the birth of a child or the eating a fine meal or the trip abroad, whatever takes you to a high vibrational space, if you begin appreciating the moments and the manifestations that are less than that on the same level as your personal journey, your own creation, when you begin appreciating the cat being attacked and dragging itself home on a zoomed out level of appreciating that your beloved pet has manifested their own unique journey of what you may call contrast, but that is their unique journey and their path. And regardless of the outcome, that was the experience that the soul that powers that animal came to planet Earth to have. And in a zoomed out perspective, you are seeing your beloved pet as the eternal strand of consciousness that it is. And the lifetime, as you know it, is temporary regardless of the outcome, always. And the way that it is experienced is a unique set of manifestations that creates a unique opportunity for eternal expansion for the being. And when you start viewing your life, and more importantly, the lives and experiences of your fellow beings on your planet, not just humans, but all beings, from that zoomed out perspective of non-judgment, of non-fear, then suddenly the things that you consider negative are experiences to inspire you positive. Therefore, they are not truly negative at all. They are drivers of additional positive. They are drivers of expansion. And when you start viewing your lives this way, so the downturns, the times that you get dumped, or you have a bodily condition that is not to your liking, or you lose your employment, or your bank account is empty, if not negative, start viewing these things as milestones in your unique life journey that are there to inspire the solving of them, thus inspire growth, inspire expansion, and embracing these things and truly appreciating these things. Then suddenly there's no real contrast. There is no real negative. There are things that you enjoy and things that inspire you toward new joy. When you start living your lives like that, you are experiencing source on earth. You are expressing the source version of you that is always there. And you can do this 24/7. You can do this for the remainder of your lives. You can do this for all of your lives. And humanity is gravitating, though your news may not indicate that to you. Your humanity is gravitating toward this place. It is not a place of utopian perfection. It is not a space where you are all going to agree on everything. It is a space where you are going to come to appreciate the disagreements and appreciate the differing opinions and live a very zoomed out life. And when you do that, you will be experiencing source on earth.
That's a wonderful answer. I like the way you phrased that, described that in great detail. There's a second question that came from one of our people in the live stream, from Bernadette, and it dovetails nicely because her question reflects what happens when we get caught up in that polarity, when we get caught up in focusing on the negativity and so forth. So she's saying, first of all, hello, and where are we now, she asks, with the reset that she's feeling, because she says she's feeling so tired these days.
The reaction to the reset is a unique expression individually. There is not a specific journey that you are all on together at the same time. You are all driving this reset collectively as a collective consciousness in your own way, and you are reacting to it in your own unique individual way. if the energy is low, you are likely holding yourself in low vibration in a prolonged period, meaning that you are judging it as scary or wanting to know what's next out of fear that it's not going to be something that is to your liking or something of this nature. Anytime your energy is low, that is an indicator that your vibration is low. And if your vibration is low, then you are not allowing vibrational flow that takes you down to then take you back up. So where we guide you with this is to let go of judgment and expectations and other fear-based thoughts regarding the reset. Take your focus off of it altogether and enjoy what is going on right now. When we call this a reset, we were originally, in David's thoughts, trying to point out that this disruption, if you will, was actually a reset and not a disruption at all. And it wasn't anything to be feared. Notice that we have moved on from that vibration in those terms, because we do not want you to get fixated on this reset, wanting to know when it's going to end. You are not going to know a specific date, because we do not operate in linear time of what we have dubbed the reset is going to be over. If you are concerning yourself with that, then you are not enjoying the process that is the reset. Enjoy the now. Enjoy the process that is. Zoom out and see what's going on in your life and on your planet from a higher perspective in the moment, and enjoy the moment for what it is. And do not concern yourself so much with what stage of reset you're in, because what's next for humanity is truly up to the collective consciousness of humanity.
Now that's a really important point too, because you're right. It is easy for us as humans to kind of get wrapped up in, well, when is this thing going to end? Well, it's going to end when it's going to end, but that doesn't actually help us. We think that by asking that question, it's going to help us, but it really doesn't help us at all. It's kind of like a tease that, you know, oh, if I only knew when the reset was going to end, then I would feel better. But that's not actually the way it works. I mean, let's say that we did know. Okay, the reset is going to end October 15th. Here's what is very likely to happen. If we get to October 15th and we've all decided the reset's going to be done there, the people who are wanting to know when is the reset going to end aren't going to allow themselves to have felt any differently, because they were expecting the reset to make them feel differently. It's not the reset that makes you feel differently. The reset is just the reset. It's just what's going on. It's not your reaction is what makes you feel differently, your response. You're deciding to whether to zoom out or to stay close up or whatever. That is where the feeling is going to come from. So, I mean, it's a great illustration of how easily we can trap ourselves doing something that really doesn't help what it is we're trying to get to.
Indeed. And understanding that the power to be in high vibration and the power to be in a state of joy is always in your now moment, in the appreciation of what is, and in the zooming out and not judging the process. And not judging where you are in it personally.
Yeah, that makes a big deal. It makes a big difference. Another interesting thing I wanted to ask you about TwoStream is, I'm sure you were aware of the conversation David and I were having before he brought you onto the show today about food and the vibration of food and so forth. And he was sharing ideas about how there are a couple of ways to look at the vibration of food. One is intrinsic value of food itself, whether or not it's, you know, naturally grown on a farm, or does it have preservatives in it, and that sort of thing. But there's also the second side, which David said you emphasize as being the more important one, which is how do we respond to it? How do we feel about it? What do we think about it, and so forth? So I wanted to give you a chance to kind of respond to what David was saying. Tell us in your voice about the vibration of food and how to think about food.
There are indeed two components. There's the vibration, i.e. the intention behind the creation of the food itself that you are all aware of. And more importantly, there is the intention or vibration of your consuming of it. There is no right or wrong, and there is no judgment of good or bad, but there is certainly intention behind the creation of your food sources. And your fearing that intention is far more damaging to your well-being than you're simply understanding that you can set an intention to cross paths with higher vibrational food, and there is nothing wrong with that. But you can also cross paths with food that is perhaps not as high in vibration, and your body has the power to process and filter anything that it consumes. There is nothing that your physical body is going to come in contact with that you cannot process in a way that is beneficial to you, health-wise and otherwise. It is all vibrationally driven, as all things are. So the idea of your bodies being a big filter, if you will, is exactly right. You consume all sorts of things, and how you process it is individual, as you all know. There's one that can process a great number of calories with little physical effort, and there's another whose metabolism is not the same. Mm-hmm. All of these things are vibrational, however. But it is easier for a human being, if you have lived your entire lifespan with a vibration of food makes you fat, it takes some work to change that default vibration. Or food makes you feel bad, or food makes you sick, or food is toxic to you, or whatever it is. It takes work for you to shift that default vibration. It is very active. It is very present. You can indeed change it with some work and time. But to chip away at this, start making your eating more of a ritual than just something that you do by default. And David is embarking upon fasting so that when he does eat, it is more of a ritual and more thoughtful than just grabbing something on the go. The more intention you place behind your eating, the more the outcome is going to be to your favor. If the intention is for anything that you eat, anything that you consume, to nourish your body, to not be stored as any sort of toxin or added weight or anything of that nature in your body, when you have that intention behind every single thing that you eat, the food is going to react with your body in a much more favorable way, but also that intention will override and ultimately begin changing your eating habits. And you will find yourselves crossing paths with food that is higher intention, higher vibration, that is just going to happen naturally. When your intention is for your bodies to be healthier, you're automatically going to be crossing paths with opportunities to strengthen your bodies, to move your bodies more, to do things of this nature. It is a natural occurrence when you're in vibrational alignment with it. It is not about magically being able to eat a box of donuts and not gain a pound or not feel bad afterward. It is about making the decisions that are more in alignment with your intention in the first place. And then when you do consume something that has a toxicity to it, if you will, your body having the intention to flush it out.
So I have two questions as follow-ups. Well, one's more of a statement to reinforce what you're saying, and then the second one is a question. So I'll start with the statement, which is, I don't remember to do this all the time, but very often, because Louise and I go out of our way to eat high quality foods just because they taste better, I'll try to remember when we're eating dinner, and she'll do this too, to just sit there and eat the food and just revel in the flavor, just thoroughly enjoy it. And we don't get the ideal dinner that we want every single time, but when we do get it, like we had a dinner, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, something like that, where every single dish, it was a very simple dinner. It was some meat, it was tomatoes, it was corn. I mean, there was nothing really complex about it, but every single item was just loaded with flavor. It was so loaded with flavor that the two of us couldn't even speak to each other. We were just so absorbed in enjoying these flavors just flowing into our mouths and flowing down our throats and just filling us up because it was just overwhelmingly tasty stuff. That's my way of when I remember to do it, when I'm mindful about it, to really appreciate the food. And in this case, it's easy because it's a what we might call a quote high vibe food anyway. It's not full of preservatives and so forth. So that's the thing I wanted to share. The question that I want to ask ties into the filtering that you talked about, because in a human mind, and this may also be the way it actually works, a filter can, in a sense, fill up. It can clog up over time and be less effective over time. So the question I'm trying to raise is, if we focus our intention on eating foods that are like something quick on the go, like you were saying, or, you know, something we're not really concerned about whether it's high quality or low quality, we're just eating the food and, you know, to heck with it, and we'll let the body filter it out. is it intrinsically true that we're wearing the body out faster, or is it simply our belief system that's leading to the body wearing out faster because we think that eating these low-fat foods are going to wear out the body?
Your belief system supersedes everything. There are certainly human beings that eat what many of you would judge as trash food or convenience food, if you will, all the time, and feel fine after they consume it, and their bodies process it without fault. That is possible. The sitting and absorbing the teachings of another that is telling you that something is bad, and then you believing that it's bad and consuming it anyway, is where you get yourselves into trouble. This is where you have illness and discomfort after eating something, and the guilt that goes along with that. You create a bad experience for yourself. You just gave an excellent example of how you set a high vibrational intention behind a meal and had a completely different experience with that meal than perhaps you would have had with the same exact food without the intention behind it.
It's one of the reasons why we actually go out of our way to get flavorful food, because it's easy to be mindful when the flavor of the food hits your mouth and you say, oh, wow, that tastes like a tomato. Oh, my God, it tastes just like corn is supposed to taste. Oh, the steak tastes like...
Because of your intention, you have placed yourself in the path of being able to acquire this.
Yeah, so I guess it goes hand in hand then, doesn't it?
It all works together. All of these things, there's never a one thing. Your world and certainly the universe is more complex than that. Mm-hmm. And your power to control it is far easier than you believe that it is very often. And in understanding how easy it truly is to change the trajectory of any moment by changing your thoughts, your attitude toward it, you understand how truly powerful you are. And this works on every single topic there is. It all works the same. There is not a more difficult and less difficult topic. The only degree of difficulty is how you focus upon it, how difficult you're making it, how important it is in your belief system to your joy that this thing worked for you. That's placing additional pressure on it and very often making it more difficult for you to manifest because of the pressure that you placed on it.
And to kind of flip it around, also recognizing that when we change the way we think about it, we're making it easier to accomplish what it is that we want instead of making it more difficult.
You have the power to do that on any topic indeed.
Yeah, and that's really an important thing, because we are taught by our culture from day one when we arrive here that it's all out of our control. Things happen to us. We can only be the receptacles of whatever fate is throwing our way. And what you teach and what Abraham teaches and what a lot of LOA type teachers teach is almost in conflict with that. It's like saying, no, that's not the way things actually operate. When we talk about law of attraction, we're saying that's not the way things actually operate. You kind of reverse cause and effect here. But we're taught it so frequently and in such in-depth manners by our culture that it's hard to believe at first. And even after we've been doing it for a while, it's hard to believe that, wow, I really do have power that is that immediate and that quick and that actually works. Even when we get examples of it working, that's what I've noticed. I have over the last, 12 years now that I've been experimenting and learning how to apply this stuff, that I get story after story, I get experience after experience where, oh, it worked. And over time, my belief increases in incremental amounts, and it's gotten bigger and bigger over time. I continue to be amazed how much I hold on to the old story, though. Despite all the progress I make, I still hang on to that story. That story is really told in depth in our human cultures here, to the point where we just absorb it. It's amazing.
It's a sign of your polarized environment, and taking your creative powers away from you is a tool of control.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And that tool of control has been prolific for those at the top, if you will, of your societies who understand, though their flawed thinking has never delivered every morsel of what they believe they're going to receive from this, but their belief system has allowed them to create a scenario where if they control the vast majority of the cash flow, they are controlling everything. Hmm. And humanity is operating in such a way where that is made true at this time on your planet. That does not have to always be true. In fact, the shifting of focus away from currency could disrupt all of that in a heartbeat if you would collectively allow it. But the powers that be, the leaders of your world, have taken that knowledge and taken it away from the masses. and assign tools of control, government, religion, these cultural traditions that teach you that you're victims and teach you that you are only as good as the work that you put in for another. And these belief systems come about and become so ingrained that they pass from generation to generation without question.
Mm.
But now you are coming together like never before via your technology, and you are beginning to question.
Yeah.
It is driving what we have labeled the reset. And the reset is the collective questioning that is causing the deterioration of your institutions. And you are flowing through a period of watching your institutions crumble. And in watching these institutions crumble, you have two choices. You can be fearful of that and fall back in line, or you can understand that the institutions were never serving you in the first place and rise to a zoomed out level, if you will, find appreciation for all that is, and truly release fear and trust and release fear and learn to trust the universe. And in trusting the universe to deliver everything that you want, including the body that you desire and the financial freedom that you desire, the joy that you desire, the relationships that you desire, the food that you desire, that trust will deliver it every single time. And there are plenty of you out there now experiencing this in real time and sharing these stories, but there are always those that are looking for holes in the story. You're not manifesting XYZ. We are here to tell you that you're not here for perfection. This is why we speak of vibrational flow more than we speak actually of law of attraction. You are not intending to come and simply attract everything that you want all the time. You're intending to have obstacles. You're intending to have pitfalls. You all do. Even the powers that be do. They simply hide them from you. But they do. And in fact, those that believe they need to control most of the wealth are doing so from a fear-based mentality in the first place.
Very true. So ultimately, where I tend to take this in my mind is, well, a couple ways to frame it. One, throughout this year 2020, I've referred to the year 2020 as a year of clarity, in part because it's a play on words where 2020 vision is concerned, but in part because, I mean, I labeled it that at the beginning of the year, but it certainly is proving to be a year of clarity. I mean, all the different major themes that are going on, we've named them here before on the show, and I can name a few now. I mean, COVID, the economy, racial tensions, all this kind of stuff, not to mention all the stuff that people deal with individually in their lives. Clarity is coming through in so many different ways. You mentioned money. I've expressed the opinion in the past that we're going to be thinking about money completely differently in about 10 years. You made it clear you don't make any predictions, and that's fine. But I'm simply pointing out that we are very likely to be thinking about money in a different way, and quite possibly in a way that isn't so clingy, for lack of a better term. And I suspect that because we're heading in that direction, we're probably going to see some pretty cool stuff happen in the next few years that we're going to be consciously manifesting. So kind of going back to Bernadette's question about the reset, I've expressed the opinion before that I enjoy watching the institutions crumble and so forth, but I also enjoy looking for the signs of what's coming out of that. The good stuff that we're looking for that comes out of, yeah, okay, an institution is crumbling, but something is going to come in to replace it. I mean, the universe and nature abhors a vacuum, as they like to say. Something always comes in to fill it in. And that something, I think, is proving out over time to be really cool, really high vibration, really good feeling stuff. And I suspect that kind of ties into what you were talking about and what you often talk about when you talk about consciousness expansion, that we're the expansion of all is happening as we're deriving this information. Well, that's part of the information. So that's my take on it.
In a contrasting environment, the downs or the lower vibrational manifestations are always there to inspire new positive, to inspire a more perfect version of whatever the creation is that's in process.
Mm-hmm.
So when you understand that, you then understand that there is no true negative, and that everything that you are perceiving as negative is your own creation to inspire growth and new positive. When you begin to truly absorb and believe that at your core, then all of a sudden life gets more interesting for you. Mm-hmm. Because you are not fearing any longer. And in fact, we state quite frequently that your planet is in a phase of needing everything to be right or left. one or the other. And in a polarized environment, there's a fluctuation between these things all the time. There's far more gray in your world than there is black and white.
Right.
But if you're needing to take sides in this reset, you have two sides to choose from. You have the side of fear or you have the side of trust. And we are guiding you toward trust always, because fear is so well developed and so acutely manifested across humanity at this time that it is creating an inordinate amount of contrast for many of you. But when you begin to release fear, you release the judgment that goes along with it, that obviously for many of you work hand in hand. Fear and judgment are rooted in fear. And the judgment is rooted in fear. And when you release these things, your ability to trust automatically increases. And when you simply move to trust, understanding that positive always prevails, there is nothing left to be fearful of or to worry about. Even when you're in the midst of an obstacle, understanding that that was your creation to allow you the opportunity to go deeper, to raise your vibration and allow the solving up to simply flow right to you. And the solving of it is going to create a more perfect version of whatever you are creating, even if it is just the physical human version of you.
Yeah, that's a great way to wind up the conversation today. So, and by the way, Bernadette sends along her thanks as well. So thank you for the answer to her question about the reset. And thank you for sharing all this stuff. I mean, I love having these conversations with you. So thank you for joining us today. And we're going to let you and David not disconnect, but do your separating thing so that David can talk to us again. And while David is reorienting himself to reality, I'll just remind people once again, this is why we want you to share the LOA Today app. Tell more people about it so that they can get this information, because, boy, this is just so valuable. So many different ways we can apply this in our lives every day. All we really have to do is just learn to do it. All we have to do, right? Like, that's the entire life lesson right there. But David's back. Hey there, David. I don't know how much you remember, but we got good stuff as usual from the stream. It was a really nice broad conversation about the nature of what we are all going through with this reset, as it's called, and what it's like when we're in transition to the energetic realm from the physical realm, and how to compare the two. And good stuff. Really good stuff.
Good.
I don't remember
a whole lot, but I will go back and watch.
Well, we'll make sure that we get the recording to you, so you guys can, your team can divide it up and cut into little parcels like you do, which is good stuff. But really good. And I mentioned to you before the show, and I may have mentioned it during the show, I can't remember. Doing this podcast always helps me. I told the story yesterday and kind of reiterated today the story going on with the cat. It's ongoing. And Louise and I, of course, hope that Joel will recover. But in case he doesn't, you know, either way, telling the story and then doing all this stuff that we do here on the show, I rely on this now. And I think a lot of our listeners do as well. And it's great to have it. So I guess it's my way of saying thank you for the contribution you make. Thank you to the listeners who are willing to listen and who love listening. And thank you to the other co-hosts. I'm so grateful to all of it. And to all of you for being a part of my journey in creating this show, because, wow, it feeds my soul every single day that I do it, and I think it feeds other souls too. So thanks to all of you.
Very nice.
Anything coming up that people need to know about, or is it just the usual stuff going on in the
diet? We have a summit coming up on Saturday, October 17th. It's going to be, gosh, I'm so bad about this. It's from 1 to 3 Pacific, and it's going to be on my YouTube channel, The Stream of David, and it's going to be in the Taya Practice Facebook group.
Yes.
So those two places, I believe you're going to be on the panel, aren't you?
Yeah, you invited me. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I was going to say, aren't you on that with it? So it will be during that time. So we'll have a panel of other hosts that are going to interact directly with the stream, ask, we'll have a theme. I don't even know what the theme is yet. We're about to announce it officially this week, but it is on Saturday the 17th, 1 to 3 p.m. Pacific. So mark your calendars for that. Walt will be on our panel. Dan is going to be on the panel too. So we'll have
a nice,
really cool people on the panel to interact with the stream. And it won't be anything that you've heard before. It'll be something different. It hasn't completely formed in my mind yet exactly what they're wanting to come
in. Okay. I'm enticed.
Yeah. Now, it'll just pop in. We'll be on a call or something. It'll just pop in and, oh, that's our theme. There you go.
Love it. All right. Well, something to look forward to. So I appreciate that as well. That's another reason to do the podcast. I get these unexpected things coming. I don't even know what they're going to be. How cool.
Yeah. No, it's going to be fun. The summits are always a lot of fun because there's lots of us on, you know, and we're all on camera kind of hanging out together. And then the audience is interacting and asking questions and you can all see all the questions that are being asked and everything. It's a cool environment.
That's great. All right. Well, all of our listeners here on LOA today are invited to join. By the way, how do they join that particular?
So it'll be at that time they can sign on to YouTube to if they go and subscribe to the YouTube channel, The Stream of David, and make sure that you put the notification buzzer on so that you're notified. Right. We're live every week in there. Or you can join the Taya Practice is the name of the Facebook group. You can join that group and then we go live in there as well. And we're live in there every week. We do a live show every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific. But this summit's going to be really cool because we have a panel of people interacting with the stream and taking audience questions both. So it's nice.
I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fun. Yeah. To have all those.
They're usually a kind of a what's next for humanity. These summits are a bigger than just random questions.
Yeah.
We're not calling them resets anymore. It's more of a kind of what's next for humanity. What is everything that's going on right now? What is it all about?
Yeah, that was a question that Bernadette raised about when's the reset going to be over. I actually think that it's already, the reset's actually happened. What we're dealing with now is, okay, it's reset. Now what? And that's what we're living right now. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it was an opportunity for people to, that needed to, that were ready to go deeper into spiritual practice or the thoughts about creation and what the world is really all about. I think people have had months now to sort of start that journey. I know I'm working with a lot more people now than I have been in the past in Taya Boot Camp. And I think that is, you're right. That was the reset. Now we're reset and more people than ever are questioning and looking for other tools to run their lives beyond just living in fear or running on autopilot, which is what a lot of people are doing.
That kind of, expansion of the number of people who are questioning and deciding to move beyond that. That's exciting.
Yeah.
That's really exciting. I love that fact that's happening.
It's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right, David. Well, once again, grand slam out of the park. So thank you very much for spending a Tuesday with us. And we'll look forward to talking to you next Tuesday. And by the way, folks, we'll be doing more with Cindy Chavez tomorrow, kind of a follow-up to the show we did last week. So if you're a Cindy Chavez fan, be sure to tune in. So thank you guys in the live stream. Thank you especially to our podcast listeners as well. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye.
Thanks, everybody.